Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Supriya Life Sciences Limited Q4 FY 2023 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Irfan Raeen from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Irfan.
Thank you, and welcome to Q4 and FY 2023 earnings con call of Supriya Life Sciences Limited. Today on this call, we have Dr. Satish Wagchar, Chairman and Managing Director of Supriya Life Sciences Limited, along with senior management team. This call may contain forward-looking statement about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectation as of today. Actual results may differ materially. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page number 2 of the investor presentation of the company, which has been uploaded on stock exchanges and company's website as well. With this, I hand over the call to Dr. Satish Wagchar for his opening remark. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Good morning and warm welcome to all participants. Thank you for joining us today to discuss the Q4 and financial year 2023 results of Supriya Life Sciences Limited. To take us through the results and the answer to your questions, we have with us the top management from Supriya, represented by Dr. Saloni Varg, Director, Mr. Krishna Raghunathan, Chief Financial Officer, and our Investor Relations Department, Orient Capital. I hope everyone got the opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchanges as well as company website. Despite the headwinds and market volatility faced by pharma industry globally, we have delivered a decent quarter. I am pleased to announce that our company has achieved significant growth in financial performance over the sequential quarter. Our revenue in Q4 2023 stood at 142.2 crores as against 105.1 crores of Q3 financial year 2023, growth of 292%. EBITDA margins in Q4 2023 stood at 38.3% as against 13.4% in Q3 financial year 2023. EBITDA surged by the impressive 25.3%. Our PAT in Q4 financial year 2023 stood at 38.2 crores as compared to 9.5 crores in Q3 financial year 2023, with a growth of 302%. PAT margins in Q4 financial year 2023 stood at 26.9% as against 9.1% in Q3 financial year 2023, which has gone up to by 17.8%. We are glad that we are in a better position, and we anticipate even better performance in the future. While our recent quarters have shown higher EBITDA margins due to the specific product and revenue mix, we maintain our conservative estimate of achieving 28%-30% EBITDA margin for the full year. We are confident in sustaining growth, good growth, and maintaining favorable margins overall. As we have previously discussed in our calls, our key strength, therapy, and market, China, continues to be impacted, and we are actively working on strategies to mitigate the impact on regained momentum. We acknowledge that it will take some time for the situation to normalize and for our operations to return to their normal levels. However, we remain committed to this market and are actively working on strategies to mitigate the impact and regain momentum. On the other hand, our regulated markets like Europe, North America, Latin America have performed well. We have also seen improved traction in therapies like anesthetic anti-asthmatic and anti-allergic. We are pleased to announce the appointment of Dr. Viru as the President of Business Development Strategy and Research and Development. Dr. Viru brings with him exceptional expertise and extensive experience in the pharmaceutical industry. We firmly believe that his leadership will be instrumental in strengthening our manufacturing excellence and driving strategies alliances. With this remarkable background in the pharma sector and hands-on approach, we are confident that Dr. Shekhar Viru is the perfect leader of our organization. Also, I would like to inform you, the board of directors have recommended a final dividend of INR 0.60 per equity share of face value of Indian rupees 2 each, subject to approval of the shareholders. With this, I will now hand over to call to our CFO, Krishna Raghunathan. Over to you, Krishna.
Thank you, sir. Hello, everyone, and good morning. I will now share the operational performance for the financial year FY23, which is under review, following which we will open the floor for questions and answers. FY23. Company reported revenue from operations of rupees 460.9 crores in FY23 as against rupees 530 crores in FY22. EBITDA in FY23 stood at 128.9 crores as against rupees 213.9 crores in FY22. And EBITDA margin stood at 28% in FY23 as against 40% in the same period last year. And profit before tax was at rupees 123.4 crores for FY23 as against 207.2 crores in FY22. PAT stood at 89.8 crores in FY23 as against rupees 151.8 crores in FY22. PAT margins stood at 19.5%. Now, coming for the quarter ended Q4 for FY23, company reported revenue from operations of rupees 142.2 crores in Q4 FY23 as against rupees 181.2 crores in Q4 FY22. EBITDA in Q4 FY23 stood at 55 crores as against rupees 75.2 crores in Q4 FY22, and EBITDA margin stood at 38.7% in Q4 FY23 as against 41.5% in the same period last year. And profit before tax was at rupees 53.2 crores for Q4 FY23 as against rupees 75.4 crores in Q4 FY22. PAT stood at 38.2 crores for Q4 FY23 as against rupees 46.2 crores in Q4 FY22. PAT margin stood at 26.9%. China story remained the same as Dr. Wag mentioned. Our main therapy and market, China, is continued to be affected this quarter also. While we cannot provide an exact timeline for the recovery of the sales at this moment, we have taken decisive action to gain a better understanding of the situation. Our team will be visiting CPHA China to gather critical insights and engage in productive discussions. This visit will provide us with invaluable information that will help us determine the path forward and devise a comprehensive strategy for recovery. Now, we can open the floor for questions and answers. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from Mr. Yogesh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Hey, Yogesh, go ahead.
So first of all, congratulations. It was a very good set of numbers for the quarter. So congratulations, everyone. My first question is basically, there has been a sharp jump in gross margins, like about 56% from about 51% last quarter and even last year.
Yogesh, we are hearing a lot of background noise. Can you please, what do you call, speak on the direct mouthpiece? I think it will be easier. We are not able to hear you properly.
Am I okay now, or should I?
Yeah. It's better. It's better.
Yeah. So first of all, congratulations. The numbers were very strong for the quarter, so congratulations for it. My first question is on the sharp increase in gross margins to about 66% approximately in this quarter from about 51% last time. So if you can share some thoughts on the jump in gross margins, which products were driving this growth?
So Yogesh, like our chairman mentioned in his opening speech, the sharp margin increase is only driven by good traction and good sales of a certain product mix in certain regulated markets. So that's one of the main reasons why the margins have shot up significantly. In terms of the therapies that have really performed well in this quarter, anti-asthmatic, anesthetic, anti-allergic, these are some of the key therapies which have really done well in some of the regulated markets like Europe, Latin America, North America, and that's one of the main reasons why the margins have gone up.
Sure. And like in the last quarter, we had some order pending for Europe, which we expected to deliver in Q4. So was that actually seen in Q4 also, leading to jump in Europe?
Yes, because we have mentioned in the past as well that Q3, usually because of the worldwide holidays in the month of December, because we operate in the export market significantly, and in most of the export markets, December is a very slow month. Most of the countries are closed for holidays. So some of the sales from that quarter has commercialized in this quarter.
Thanks. My second question is on the North America market. So we see that ramping up every quarter. So if you can share some highlights, how do we see growth in North America? Any quantitative numbers we can get in that market? And any seasonality for North America? How do you see?
Yes. Okay, yeah, please continue. Sorry, please continue.
So basically, how do we see growth in North America in quantitative terms going forward, and any seasonality in that market?
So definitely, we anticipate the North American markets to grow for us significantly in the next couple of years. This is mainly because some of the products in the basket, which are anti-allergic, decongestants, we expect to see good traction because we have recently filed for the US DMFs for this particular market. Maybe not in the immediate one or two quarters, you can see a significant jump in the revenue. But yes, definitely in the next 3 to 4 quarters, there would be a better traction seen in these markets once we start getting the US DMFs and the registrations through for some of these newer products.
So if we take a one-year horizon, can we see about 20-25% growth in the North American market going forward?
No, because this is a highly regulated market, and once we get the registrations also, there is a time period in which we have to reach out to the customers, do the development validation process. So definitely not in the next 1 year. We definitely anticipate growth, but it would not be in that 20-25% range what you're indicating.
And madam, on the China market, there were some comments wherein we are looking to meet the regulators. So if you can explain that in detail, what actually we are looking at in terms of the China market. If you can share some more details on it.
So China market situation remains the same what we had mentioned for the last quarter. Still a lot of volatility and instability in the market. The demand is still not increased as much as we would have wanted it to, and there is a lot of price pressure as well. So we remain in the similar situation what we were in the last quarter. We will have to wait and watch at least a couple of quarters more for the situation to sort of streamline. We are hoping that with our next visit to China, which is happening in CPHI China in June, of this year, we should be able to get more market insights and understand the market reality, what is happening there. But so far, situation seems exactly what it was in the last quarter, and we don't expect it to stabilize for another couple of quarters as well. But, you know, to somehow mitigate the impact of China, we are now really focusing aggressively on, you know, fast-tracking some of the new product development that we have in our basket currently. And like we have seen in the fourth quarter, some of the other therapies like anti-asthmatics, anesthetics, they have performed really well in some of the regulated markets. So increased focus on these markets and how we can further get better traction for these products.
Finally, how many products are we looking to, you know, introduce in FY 2024, and how many will commercialize?
So, we are looking to introduce three new products into our basket this year. Somewhere around quarter three, we anticipate that these three products would be through R&D, and we should be able to, you know, launch them for at least the validation volumes and everything. The commercial impact of these products would only be seen in probably quarter one of the next financial year. But at least in quarter three, we should be able to launch them, and we should be able to start offering them to the customers for validation purposes.
तुम्ही ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्याने तुमच्या कॉलला होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. कृपया लाईनवरच राहा. The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold. Please stay on the line. आप जिस व्यक्ति से बात कर रहे हैं उसने आपकी कॉल को होल्ड पर रखा है. कृपया लाइन पर बने रहें.
हेलो.
तुम्ही ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्याने तुमच्या कॉलला होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. कृपया लाईनवरच राहा. द पर्सन यू आर स्पीकिंग विथ हॅज पुट युअर कॉल ऑन होल्ड. प्लीज स्टे ऑन द लाईन. आप जिस व्यक्ति से बात कर रहे हैं उसने आपकी कॉल को होल्ड पर रखा है. कृपया लाईन पर बने रहें. तुम्ही ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्याने तुमच्या कॉलला होल्डवर ठेवला आहे.
Hello.
Yes, this is the operator. Our next.
We got disconnected in between.
Yes. Our next question comes from Mr. Siddharth Purohit from InvesQ Investment Advisors Private Limited.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible clearly?
Yes, we are able to hear you.
So, ma'am, this our capacity seems to be now on stream based on the gross block that you are showing on the balance sheet. So how are we really preparing for, like, you know, uptakes in this, like, you know, from the new plant? Because right now we will have a sizable capacity, but accordingly, are we doing some sort of extra marketing efforts that we are putting up for the core geography that we already had and for new geography? Because China, you are saying, still not very sure how far that will recover. So which all areas can really recover? Which all geographies can really recover in next one or two years?
Okay. So, in our current product portfolio, we have about 32 APIs, and these come from 10 to 12 different therapeutic categories. Other than the top three products for the company, there is a basket of about 8-10 molecules, which come from different therapies like anti-allergic, decongestant, anti-hypertensive, vitamins, then again, pain management. So all these products we have been selling for the last 5-6 years in semi-regulated markets. We have already started the registration for some of these products. You know, about 2 years back, we started the registration for these products. In fact, for some of the products, we have recently received the CEPs and the USDMFs and the China registrations also. So this basket of 8-10 molecules, we would now want to scale up in the more regulated markets. And that's where some of the impact of China would definitely be mitigated. Now, once these products, you know, they move into the more regulated market space, their average selling price also would definitely appreciate. And in terms of volume also, you know, we see a very good volume scale up for these existing molecules. So whatever capacity we are building at site one would be to take care of the volume scale up of these existing molecules. Second, we do have a lot of active CDMO discussions which are there. So some of the APIs, advanced intermediates from these opportunities would also fill up some of the capacity. So these are the two main areas for which we are actually building the capacity.
Okay. So based on the current scenario and your understanding, any, like, you know, growth target that you have internally set for FY 2024, like, you know, because margin you said you'll have something around 28-30, you are indicating. But on the top line front, do you see at least, like, you know, double-digit growth? How you are planning for this one? Because your fixed cost will probably look higher in the coming year, because you must have gone through all the CapEx. So how that will get absorbed, and even if gross margin improves, how that fixed cost will get absorbed, that's what I'm trying to understand.
Okay. So, in the past also, if you see, historically, we have shown over 20% growth year-on-year. This year, you know, specifically was a one-off year for us because of, you're all aware that our key market, key therapy, got impacted. However, going forward also, we are committed to maintaining the same kind of growth what we have shown in the previous historical years. So it would be in trend with that. And as far as the capacity is concerned, see, some of this capacity, what we are putting in our Module E, it would only be available for production in quarter four of this financial year. So to see the impact coming from that particular, you know, module will take some time. So it would not be as immediate at this financial year. However, in terms of going forward growth, it would be similar to what we have done in the past.
So can we expect something around 20%+ growth for the current year based on your interaction with the various customer, or how?
Yes.
Any number you would like to put?
Yes, we anticipate around that range.
Okay. And one more clarity, ma'am. Like, in the developed market, particularly regulated market, the initial cost of launching any product, new molecules will be probably on the higher side. Since you are targeting, like, now, good set of markets right now, like, now, what kind of incremental cost initially you will be probably have to bear?
See, we are not able to hear your question, see, but if I hear you right, are you checking about the per molecules R&D cost? Is that your question, sir?
R&D cost, as well as the cost of, like, you know, launching in the developed market, the regulated market. Probably the filing costs and everything will be, like, you know, on a higher side for the regulated market. So any specific, like, you know, a team that we are setting up for that, or what is the cost that we are budgeting for that, for venturing into the more regulated market?
So, you know, nothing like that. Whatever, you know, expenses we are incurring in the last couple of financial years, it is similar to what we would be incurring going forward as well. It's not a very significantly high expense wherein, you know, we have to set aside some funds for doing these kind of registrations. They are a part and parcel of the portfolio and would be in line with the last couple of years, what we have done.
See, having said that, we will also have, as and when the products increase, yeah, we might have a couple of new filings, which will have some impact on the R&D line. I don't think that is highly significant, which will have to be separately budgeted. No, this is always a part and parcel of Suprea's budget.
Hello?
Yeah. Hi.
A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question comes from Naresh, from Sameeksha Capital.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So my first question is on the other current assets. So it has increased from 55 crore to almost 100 crore in last one year. So can you throw some light on this? What does this pertain to, and how should this number move going ahead?
See, basically, the major impact on this line is we had paid advance for a land in Isambe here in nearer to Patalganga. Okay, and we were not yet able to register this because Maharashtra, the authorities have yet to take the environmental clearance for it. Okay, I think which is expected in another, what do you call, maximum 3 to 4 months. That is what is my corporate affairs team is saying. Today morning, I just checked with them specifically on this. I was expecting this question. So I think post the rainy season, most probably we should be getting the clearance and then the registration would be done and then this would be moving into CV line, sir.
So most of the majority of the increase of 45 crore is on account of land advances. Is
Yeah,
that correct?
yes, 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 yes.
So what is the cost of the land in Isambe?
I think it's somewhere around 55 crores, and I think there will also be some registration costs attached to it. I think those things are yet to happen, sir.
Okay. And my next question is on Salbutamol. So have you started supplying this product in the European markets? And if you can show on a quarter-on-quarter basis, like from Q3 to Q4, have you seen a good ramp-up in this product in Europe?
So yes, we have started supplying some volumes in the European market because we got the CEP. However, it is just, small volumes for validation and all. Specifically for Europe, I'll not be able to indicate any percentage of growth, but if you look at the historical, this particular therapy has really grown for us from almost 8% to 12% in this year, and we anticipate similar kind of growth. In fact, faster growth for Europe as well as North American markets for this product in the coming few quarters.
We already have the CEP and DMF for this product, right?
Yes, we have both, and we are in active discussion with a lot of customers in Europe and US for these.
Okay, and on another two products, dextromethorphan and cetirizine, if you can talk about how are we seeing the traction in these two products in FY24, especially in the regulated markets?
So again, both products, we are still under registration process. For dextromethorphan, we do have the US DMF available, but CEP is under registration. And for cetirizine, both US DMF as well as CEP is under registration. We expect to do both the filings in June of this year. So probably in another 9 to 12 months, we should have the US DMF and the CEP in our hand. For both these products, Europe and US are very large markets. So we are expecting very good growth from quarter three of this year. Next year, in fact, we will see very significant contribution from these two products. But the products are really good. They are growing products year on year. Their volume has grown in the market. So they could be potentially large products for us going forward.
And in Dextro, since you said that we have a DMF, so in FY24, how much do you expect out of this product? I mean, qualitatively, if you can give some color on that, because I think this was one of our key products for FY24. So if you can, help us understand how much it would likely contribute in 24.
So, specific information on how much it can contribute, while we are not in a position to share, but I can say that, we have already started seeing good traction for this product in OTC market, and a lot of active customer discussions are ongoing. So definitely for this year itself, the volume from US OTC market would be large for the company.
Okay, and one last question. So out of the 8 to 10 products which you mentioned, which in next 2-3 years you expect that will ramp up and hence diversify our product base, specifically for FY24, any product out of those which you expect to contribute meaningfully in your revenues?
So while we can't talk very product specific, but definitely I can discuss about the therapies which we anticipate would contribute significantly. So therapies like anti-hypertensive, vitamins, anti-allergic, then yes, some scale up in anti-asthmatic products as well. These are decongestants. So these are the 4 or 5 therapies where, you know, we anticipate a large volume scale up in the next couple of years.
Okay. And one last, on the revenue front, do you stick to your guidance of doubling our revenues by 26 on FY22 and FY22's base?
So yes, we are still maintaining that for the financial year FY26-27, you know, we are still confident that we would be able to achieve the guidance what we have given in terms of revenue.
Sure, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Tushar Bora from MK Ventures.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations to the management for a much better show this time. First, I think a few days before the results, we had this announcement on one of the CMO contracts. Maybe if you can share more details around it and also more qualitative details, specifics around your overall CMO pipeline.
Okay. Yes, we have recently announced a CMO tie-up with one of the leading European companies. This would be an exclusive contract with this company where we would be the exclusive API suppliers. This is one of their existing products which they are planning to phase out of their European facility. So the complete volume would be transferred to Supriya in the next few years. As we speak, we are in the preparatory phase where we are doing the filings for the CEP, for the US DMF, and for the Japan DMF. We expect that all these three regulatory, you know, all the registrations should come through probably in the next 9 to 12 months. During this time, you know, we would start catering to them some volume for their validation batches and for their trial batches for their customers globally. But once all the registrations come through, we anticipate that the volume should really start picking up. In FY26-27, we anticipate, you know, it should give us a revenue of about 40 crores a year. And there is definitely potential in this contract to get a higher, you know, volume as well as a higher turnover. But this is something that we are fairly confident that we should be able to achieve in the financial year FY26-27. So this is in terms of the current CMO opportunity, which we have already sort of announced. Similar to this, we are also working on another similar scale opportunity, which hopefully we should also be in a position to announce very soon, as we are in the final stage of agreement signing. Other than these two large opportunities, we are working on 6-7 smaller opportunities, which are more, you know, API and advanced intermediates. All these smaller opportunities also we are expecting by FY26 should contribute, you know, in a good way to our revenue. But all these are, you know, in very initial stage of discussion where, you know, we are just supplied some samples. In certain cases, some R&D work is ongoing. In the next 2 years, I think we should have a fairly good basket of CMO projects commercialized in our hand.
Ma'am, when we say CMO, possible that some of these may actually be CDMO, where we may be working with innovators or, you know, specific industry build-outs?
Yes, there are one, there is one particular opportunity where we are working with the innovator. So yes, that is also in place.
And ma'am, just to clarify on the contract that you mentioned, the European CMO, if we are going to, you know, start supplying some batches and some supplies this year, and you said that 9 to 12 months you expect the approvals to start coming in, is it possible that we may actually start getting meaningful revenue from maybe FY24 or FY25 itself? Rather than looking out at this as an FY27 and beyond opportunity, should we budget for a reasonable growth from this project, you know, sooner, maybe by FY25?
So, we can, I mean, we will start getting some volume traction from FY24 itself, but the value impact would not be as significant, you know, as it would be once it reaches its, you know, full completion in FY26-27. That's when, you know, we would have had all the regulatory approvals. See, because this particular company operates in highly regulated markets. The markets which I mentioned, which is the European market, the Japanese market and the US market, all these are highly regulated markets and all their customers are pharma customers. So it takes a little bit of time for the pharma customers also to sort of evaluate our source, do the validation and redo their formulations with our, you know, source. So that's one of the reasons why, although the volumes would start kicking in from FY24, the significant impact on the revenue as well as margin would only start coming in from financial year
FY26-27. Sure. Ma'am, also, on the in the overall CMO pipeline / CDMO pipeline that we have, is this all only pharmaceutical products? You mentioned intermediates also, but are there any non-pharma products also in this? Is the company looking to actively, you know, reach out for other chemistries and other projects that are non-pharma in nature?
So there is one project which is non-pharma, where we are working on more nutraceutical kind of an application. Hopefully, we should be in a position to announce this project also very soon. We are in the final stage of this particular project as well, and the scale is similar to the one that we have currently announced. But other than this one project, most of the other projects are, you know, API and advanced intermediate related in the pharmaceutical space.
And these would be margin profile-wise similar or better than your current margin?
So they would be similar to the margin guidance what we have given on an annualized range, the 28 to 30% margin what we have indicated. These all would be in this line of margin.
Ma'am, just one clarification on the guidance and the overall commentary. You mentioned 20% minimum growth and 28 to 30% margin. So first, is the growth, you know, since we had a blip in FY23, you know, a negative year over FY22. Should we assume this, you know, 20% from FY23 as a base? Could it be higher because of the blip? Could this year actually be better than 20% for us? And secondly, the margin profile, it's good. While it's good to be conservative, should we budget for a decline in subsequent quarters, or is it just that this is the minimum and we can hope for performance similar to what you've done in Q4?
Hey, Tushar, Krishna here. See, the general 20% guidance is for all the regular years. This year, since the base is lower, the increase would be looking on a higher side. So this is only for this current year, this will be holding good. See, the 28 to 30%, whatever we are looking at, is an average of all the quarters put together. Because, see, as you have seen in the current quarter itself, depending on the product mix, there is always going to be some sort of, either it is going to spike up or it is going to go down depending on the product mix. So whatever we are giving is the, what do you call, the average number which we think that we might be able to achieve. And if the product mix is going to be highly favorable, then yeah, there could be a couple of percentage points here and there. There could be some possibilities, but that is something which we don't want to, what do you call, give it as a general guidance to anybody. So we still stick to 28 to 30%.
So this is, sir, essentially this is the minimum we hope and assume that we should be able to achieve through the year and hopefully better than this. Is that how
yes.
to read the guidance?
Yes, Tushar, you are right.
Thank you, sir. I'll join back in queue for more questions.
Thanks, Tushar.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question comes from Mr. Abhijit from PI Asset Management.
Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
So my question is again regarding the margins. In Q4, we did around 39% EBITDA margin, and you have guided for 28%-30%. So what are the reasons we think that Q4 margins are not sustainable?
So we have indicated and we have explained this a couple of times before as well. The initial margins, what we were getting, were also, see, because the product concentration in our portfolio is high, there are three products which are mature products for the company, which have already matured into the regulated market space. Unfortunately, this year, one of our key therapies and key markets got hit, and we don't anticipate that this market would recover in the near future. So that's one of the main reasons why the previous margins are not sustainable. And particularly for this quarter, as I mentioned before also, the high margins are due to a certain product mix seeing a good traction in certain regulated markets. But this also has a certain seasonality impact, and some of the sales from quarter three also have gone into this year. So that's one of the reasons why the margins are extremely high for this quarter. However, going forward, based on the product portfolio that we currently have and still anticipating the impact of the China market and the key therapy, we anticipate that 28%-30% margin is something that would be a normalized margin for us. That's one of the main reasons.
Okay. And in the last quarter, we saw promoters adding from the open market. Can we expect further addition in the coming days, months, quarters?
This is something which is very speculative. See, he might add, he might not add. I think this is something I don't think we can talk to about some futuristic events. If he finds value, I think he might buy. I don't think that this can be a, what do you call, stuff for guidance.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Thank you. These were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, our next caller is Mr. Hemant, an individual investor.
If the promoter wants to increase.
Mr. Ashish, please go ahead.
He will go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just wanted to understand on the working capital side, how should we read things? It's pretty high typically for us as a company.
Yeah.
Even the supply chain disruptions, we had said that we were a bit conservative on ensuring supplies and stuff. So now what is the situation and where do we see this going?
See, we do agree that the inventory was something which was pretty high. In fact, even now, I think it is somewhere around 200+ days of inventory, because last year, since it was China was totally disrupted, a couple of raw materials which we were dependent on in China for some specific materials, we had to stock up in excess. The management is aware that the inventory cycle is on the higher side, and of course, we are taking corrective actions for the same. I think now that every of the countries are now opened up, I don't think we need to maintain so much of inventory. You would see a gradual reduction over the next few quarters.
Okay. So, any guidance on how this number would shape up on the inventory side?
At this point of time, we don't want to give any guidance on working capital, at least. See, you should also be cognizant of the fact that our working capital loans are hardly around 15 to 16 crores, and we are cash sufficient. In that sort of a scenario, I don't think we should be worrying too much with respect to the working capital at this stage. But having said that, we do understand that inventories are on a higher side. That is something which the management is very, very cognizant about. And in fact, I have a meeting with the management in the afternoon specifically on this.
Okay. And on the other current assets, you mentioned that they should come down, right? And this should correct.
See, I think once the land is capitalized or getting into CWIP, once it is registered, it will get into CWIP, of course. So I think that is going to come down. It is just a temporary stuff, not to be worried too much into it.
Okay. So it should come down to around 50-odd crores again.
Yeah, that is going to come down pretty much. In fact, to be honest, certain of some long-pending export receivables or the DEPP receivables and brought-up receivables we had received in April and May, you would see a significant amount of reduction even in the first quarter itself.
Okay. So, on the business side, I would like to understand how is the overall scenario shaping up? Because, I mean, typically, we have seen a lot of volatility last 2 years on the most of the API market, the companies in this sector and stuff, and you also, FY 2023 has been quite a tumultuous year in terms of ups and downs. So should we say that for us, the worst kind of is over and maybe moving back to our glory days as in continuous growth with good margins and ROCs? So should we expect that, or should is the situation still kind of not to call out that it everything is normalized kind of?
So definitely, I think, I mean, the last financial year was a one-off for us. If you look at the historicals of the company, we have consistently grown. This is mainly because of getting good traction for our existing product basket in more regulated space. And that's one of the company's main strategies to focus on getting traction in more regulated markets. So with the same view, in fact, we are working on de-risking the existing product basket. We plan on adding newer products from newer therapies. So any particular therapy dependence or any particular geography dependence of the company is significantly reduced. For us, way forward definitely would be good growth, what we have indicated in this call also today, that 20% growth is what we are anticipating going forward. And the margins at a conservative level between 28%-30% is what we are confident of achieving in the near future.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next call is from Mr. Tushar Bohra from MK Ventures.
Yeah. Thanks for the follow-up. Sam, just if you can highlight the new products that you mentioned a few of them, like dexamethasone and cetirizine. But just how many DMFs/DEPs are active where we are expecting some movement of this year and next year in terms of new client additions or more regulated markets business? And which are the ones we have filed or are in the process of filing, which also should become a possibility for FY 2024 and beyond?
So currently, we have already filed three USDMFs and three CEPs are also, I mean, they've already filed three CEPs. These are mainly decongestant, anti-gout, and anti-allergic, these three therapeutic areas where we have already filed for the registration. So probably in another 9 to 12 months, once we have these registrations in place, we can immediately start seeing good volume scale-up because we have already done the validation and the trial volumes for these products with some of the customers. Active discussions are ongoing. And in the future, anti-hypertensive, anesthetic, then anti-asthmatic, and vitamins are some of the key therapies where we would want to apply for the CEPs and the USDMFs. Currently, most of the documents are under compilation for these products. And in fact, even China registration for that matter. So probably in Q3, we would be in a good position to have all the documents in place and start the registration for these products as well. So overall, the 8 to 10 basket of products, what we said, where we'll be seeing a good volume scale up would be from these therapeutic categories.
You already have some China registrations in place for some of the existing portfolio outside the one that is currently impacted?
We do have some antihistamine products already registered with China, but these volumes, I mean, the volumes for these products are very small. This is a very stable business which we have been doing for last couple of years. And there are three registrations which we are currently doing in China also. One is an anti-allergic product, one is again antihistamine range, and one is anti-gout. So these three products we are currently registering as we speak. So hopefully by beginning of next year, we should have all the registrations in place.
Ma'am, one of our products, Tramadol, which was classified as a narcotic recently, we were applying or had applied for USDMF and CEP for Tramadol. Any updates on that?
So we have just applied for the CEP and the USDMF. It takes usually around 9 to 12 months to get the CEP and the same, and a little longer in fact for the USDMF. So somewhere again, you know, goes back to the same timeline that somewhere around end of this year, quarter 3 or quarter 4 of this financial year is when we anticipate we should have the CEP and the USDMF for this product as well. The volume scale up expected from this product is also quite large, as you know, this product itself is very large across Europe and US. So definitely once we have these registrations in place, the volume scale up would be good.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was the last question on today's call. I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Saloni Wag for closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to thank everyone for joining the call. I hope we have been able to respond to your queries adequately. If you have any further queries, you may reach out to our investor relations partner, Orient Capital. Thank you very much for joining us today. Have a great day. Thank you.
On behalf of Supriya Life Science Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.